In Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 24, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "I find the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Those are heavy, heavy emotional words. It is probable in this text, if you've opened your Bible there, that you could note that he is likely dealing with what his life was like when he lived under the law of Moses, tormented by the reality that he loved God, but he also served the flesh. But I think that though you and I are long since departed from the dispensation of Moses, that many of us can relate very intensely with these verses. For those of us who started seeking God, but before we became Christians, you know exactly what this feels like. There is a part of you that wants to serve the Lord faithfully, but the members of your body, the fleshly carnal sin, just keeps pulling you in another direction. Wretched man, who can save me? But the truth is, there are people who are now Christians, who have been redeemed by Jesus, but still feel this way on an everyday basis. How could I be saved when I want to do right, but I don't always do it? Now, he brought this to its important natural conclusion, and that is, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. The answer is, you can't get there without Christ. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now again, there's a lot going on in this text with reference to Moses' law, but let me tell you what I think is going on here. I think he's saying that this battle will never truly be over while we live in the flesh. As much as we seek to serve the Lord and do what is right, there will be setbacks. The flesh will enter in. We will sin. Thanks be to God that Christ can save us anyway. That we can be out of the realm of condemnation, though we still continue, even against our own hearts and minds at times, to behave improperly. There is hope for us, those of you who are fighting this battle every single day. Now here's what this text is not saying. It's not saying that it doesn't matter what you do anymore. Once you become a Christian and you put on a relationship with Jesus, you just face this reality that there's two laws inside of me. There's the good me and there's the bad me, and sometimes I'm good and sometimes I'm not, and I'm going to be saved anyway. That's not what this text is teaching, and you know that. Romans 6 talks about, can we continue in sin that grace may increase? Of course not. But I'll tell you what I think he's saying. I think he's saying that because of the blood of Jesus and his power to redeem us, that this becomes a fight that we can win. Instead of living in the desperation that every time I take one step forward in the Spirit, I take two steps back in the flesh and I never make any progress and we just give up, because of Jesus, we can win. A little bit later in Romans 8, he said, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God." Because Jesus has given his life for you and has chosen to redeem sinners like us, you get to choose where you want to put your mind. And if you focus that mind on the Word of God and the spiritual truths, Jesus will work with you and you will never be condemned. Even though, at times the flesh still rears its ugly carnal head. However, if we use this as some excuse and we decide, well, I think I'll just indulge in the flesh and see how it all works out, well, death is still available if you want it. Spiritual death and an eternity away from God is still an option if we decide to stop fighting for the Spirit and just live for the flesh. But we have great hope. So then, Because of the hope that Christ gives us, even though we feel those internal turmoils all the time, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, watch this, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So let's get this straight. There is within me this constant fight between doing what is right sinlessly and serving the temptations of the flesh. But Jesus will make all the difference. But I have to make a choice to fight for what is right and make it the purpose and determining direction of my life to use the spiritual victories to slay the fleshly indulgences. We can be victorious. That's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes this morning, this idea of the Spirit, the spiritual man, the one that seeks to do right all of the time, basically every single thing Josh said in his prayer a little while ago. Did you feel encouraged by that? Do like this? That was very encouraging. Thank you, Josh. And then when we come out of that prayer and we enter into Monday and we start feeling those fleshly pressures, how do we fight this battle that is within most, if not all of us, and how do we win? That's what we're going to discuss. Would you open your Bibles with me to Galatians 5? We've used Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8 to set the table, but this same author, of course, Paul, writes the Galatian letter, and while we will occasionally, over the next few minutes, trickle back into the book of Romans, I think everything we need to do well in this daily fight can be found for us in Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6. Let me just say, while you're getting over there, what an encouraging thing it is to be among God's people this morning. One thing we need, with the flesh within us at times tormenting us and a world around us that fosters and encourages that. Can you believe that? We need to be able to gather with people who are fighting for the other side and who feel confident in who Jesus is. I'm thankful that you're here today. If you're visiting with us in this community, we encourage you to come and investigate the truth and being a part of this team, because this is a reality for everyone. And the Lord has empowered us together to do well. But there are some things we need to know. Let me share a few things with you this morning, all of which, or most of which, will be found here in Galatians chapter 5. First of all, let's just make sure that we get the urgency of this. I don't want anyone to say, well, you know, Jesus is pretty much going to take care of everything in the end. And so if I don't apply what I read or hear today, you know, hey, I'm a work in progress. No, you need to understand that freedom is on the line here when we talk about winning this battle. If you're in Galatians chapter 5, I would like to begin in verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. And let me just say that connects directly with Romans 8 and 1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has set us free from the law of sin. Watch this. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in one statement: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Let me stop there for a moment. What's he saying? He's saying, you are free. And there's a sense in which I will still at times in my life indulge in the flesh. I'm at a point in my life when I can admit that to you. There are still times when I will lose a daily battle of the fleshly things, but I am fighting for the things of the spiritual, and Christ has set me free from the guilt of my sin, and I'm going to heaven. But I need to be careful, lest I decide that this freedom is so great and so absolute, very Calvinistic idea, that I can just go ahead and indulge in the flesh, and somehow the Lord will care for it for me. Look, we will consume one another if we do that. Do you understand that? That's exactly what verse 14 and 15 is saying. If we let other things replace the love of the Spirit for one another, we will devour and consume. We can lose the good things that we have. And I want Romans to help us with this. Hold your finger here in Galatians. You're going to need it. And look in Romans chapter 11. Romans 11 and verse 22. I want this lesson today to be very encouraging. I want you to feel confident about how to move forward and do better. But first, we need to be very clear on this point. We can lose our freedom. In Romans chapter 11 and in verse 22, behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in His kindness. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. What does that mean? It means if we lay our weapons down and we say, this is too hard, I'm tormented every day by the fleshly desires, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, and I think I'm just going to lay my weapons down and see where it goes. I'm going to tell you where it goes. It goes to hell. That's where it goes when we give up. We can be cut off. I don't want that. I want to fight. I know there'll be setbacks, but I want to believe that Christ can continue to save me, and I want to get to heaven. The first thing we need to acknowledge is that there is a danger here. Freedom is on the line. All right, then let's say this. Let's be positive. Go back to Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse 16. I think a message needs to be shared, and I'm thinking about some of our young folks here today. You can win this war. I understand that sin is deceitful and vain and it lures us in, but sometimes I think we overshift in a direction that tells the church and tells our young people, look, you're just going to fail a lot. You know that, right? And you're going to make colossal mistakes and the flesh is just going to take you over, and some days you're just going to wake up and there's not going to be a spiritual bone in your body and you're going to make the most foolish mistakes. That's just a part of the Christian walk. No, it's not. That's not a part of the Christian walk. You can win the war. You can win the battle. Sure, I'm not saying there won't be setbacks. You understand me clearly. There will be moments. But to say that I'm just going to be powerless to the fleshly wiles of the devil is just not true. You can win whatever you're fighting. And everybody kind of has their own thing, right? Things you're fighting. I'm going to show you a list in a minute. And you'll immediately look at that list and say, that's me right there. Whatever it is, we need a more optimistic approach. We are Christians. And Jesus doesn't just forgive us when we fail. He empowers us to succeed. We can win. Are you in Galatians 5, verse 16? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. I almost feel like we should use the rest of the morning me just convincing you that that Bible verse is true. That's true. You know that, right? If we walk according to the spiritual ways, in those moments when you make those, you will not sin. You will not fall victim. It's not just one of these deals where who knows, you know, every hour of the day I'm back and forth. No, walk by the Spirit and not carry it out. Now, I want to illustrate it this way. What you're looking at now are two lists that you probably know pretty well. They're both in Galatians chapter 5. One of them we call the fruit, maybe a singular fruit with a lot of little pieces, the fruit of the Spirit. 9 things: love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the good stuff. That's the element of the Spirit. When we find ourselves as Christians and we are nourished by the will of the Lord, this fruit, absolutely the nutrients of it flows through us. The other list, you know this list as well, it's a little longer, the deeds of the flesh. So you have the Spirit on one side, for you it's over here, and the flesh over there, and I've kind of categorized them for you a little bit this morning. You've got immorality, impurity, and sensuality. So you know that category. You have idolatry and sorcery, which is replacing God with anything else that you think is more important. You have this list of relationship problems, right? Like enmity and strife and jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, and envying. And then you have just illicit, uncontrolled social behavior, drunkenness, and carousing. Now, again, I told you, and I don't want to be too specific. I want you to sort of interact with the screen a little bit today. You've got something over here that's getting to you, at least at times. I know I do. Okay, I do. I'll say that. Maybe it pushes every day. Maybe it's even leaning on you right now. And you think, how can I be a Christian? How can I get to heaven when it's the same things? And for some of us, maybe there's 2 or 3 things. Well, first of all, I need you to remember there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Christ came to give you victory, not defeat. And we can win. And I want to start employing a little bit of a strategy with you this morning. When we use the Spirit to fight the flesh, we can win. Let me give you some examples. How do you fight immorality? Anybody know? You're tempted to go to that computer website again. You're tempted to look at that person and think that same thing again. How do you fight that? If there's no weapon in your hand, you're powerless. You know what I think is a great weapon against immorality? We could always use self-control. But I use love. I love my wife. I love God. I love my family. Immorality has one target: the destruction of the people you love. I can win with love. Does that make sense to you? Let me give you a second one. How do you overcome strife and jealousy? Ooh, those are biting terms. Strife and jealousy and enmities. Well, there are several things you can employ, but do you know what I like to employ? This little old thing called joy. We have a lot to rejoice about, do we not? We have so many things to be thankful for. The list just goes on and on about what God has done and how good life is and the things that He's done for us. And when I want to be jealous and when I want to lash out at someone else, I fight that with joy. The joy that only God can provide. Disputes and factions, I use gentleness. And yes, you could use self-control for any and all of these. But if it's drunkenness, self-control. When I learn what self-control is and I learn how to build it and nourish it, I will not get drunk. I will not. So what we need to get into is this habit that says, I can succeed. I'm not saying we will always 100% of the time succeed. Everybody makes mistakes. But as a habit, as a practice, as a life direction, love destroys immorality. And to add to that, I would say this. We cannot accept compromises on this. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Of all of the verses about flesh and spirit in Galatians 5, I think this might be the most potent because it tells you the reality of the war we're fighting. The flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. They cannot get along. There's no world in which jealousy and peace are friends. They'll never be friends. They hate each other. One of them in a godly way. He hates that the other one exists. The other one just hates the other. There can be no compromise. Look at the list again. Look at these things. They don't just want to take you on a little ride. They don't just want to ruin your day or make you feel bad about yourself or distance you from the Lord. They want to annihilate, to disintegrate that list over there. They want to kill it, to destroy it. And in a more godly, valiant, warrior kind of way, everything over here doesn't want to make all of this a little bit less or make you feel a little bit better after you've done something over here. It wants to erase that list from your life. They are in direct opposition. So what that means is no compromises. I'm not saying, and I'll say it throughout the lesson, that things won't happen at times. But if anybody says, well, I went home and worked on that lesson all week, and it's Friday, and I've been thinking about these things all week, and I read through the notes, and I've been reading Galatians 5, and I've just determined that this particular envy is just something I got to learn to live with. I'm pretty good on most of this list, probably better than most of the other folks up there. But envy, that's just one I'm going to have to wear. A guy might say, this pornography thing, it's too much. So I'm going to do a lot of other things right, and I'm going to win a lot of these battles. But yeah, there's just going to be some of that. That's how you lose the war. Through compromise. Through acceptance. Because envy wants to destroy your joy, and pornography wants to annihilate the godliness and love within your family. They don't want to live together. They want to kill them. And when we look at that, it starts to create a disdain, a distaste for any element that you see in that list. Not just because of what it means in the moment, but because of what it does to the other. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to fight. We're going to fight like our souls depend on it because, newsflash, our souls depend on it. And so do our families, and so does our future. We're going to fight because we believe we can win. And I just cannot emphasize that enough this morning. If you think, oh, here's another sermon on flesh and spirit, I've looked at that before and I just can't win. Well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? If you don't think you can win, you've already lost, right? I want you to believe in the power of Jesus, even if you don't believe in your own power. I want you to believe in the words of the Apostle Paul that we read in our opening in Romans chapter 7. How do I get past this wretched man that I am? Thanks be to God through Jesus, that I can begin to set my mind on one through Bible study, through prayer, through fellowship. I can begin to set my mind on one and I can start beating the other. You got to believe that. And when you're ready to do that, I can share with you a few ways and methods by which we might fight. Let's talk about who we're fighting for. Fight this battle for the king. Maybe it comes down to why am I doing this? There's this book called Start With Why. It's a pretty neat idea. If you don't know why you're doing it, you won't do it very long. That's true in almost every element of life. You know, I could preach a 45-minute lesson on here's the fleshly stuff, here's why it's bad, here are all the verses that say that it's bad, here's why you need to stay away from it, and you'd all be asleep out there. You'd be saying, I've heard that sermon 100 times. I know it's bad. These are bad things. And I could show you, well, love, and here's what it is, and here's the love of God. You know all that already. You know, when it comes to flesh and spirit, it's not about the knowledge of the flesh or the spirit. It's about the drive, the will to fight. Why are you fighting? I'll tell you why I'm fighting. I'm fighting because of Jesus. Look in Galatians chapter 5, please. In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 24, same text, Galatians 5, 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Question, why? Why did these people crucify the flesh? Because they belong to Christ Jesus. I'm fighting for the king, folks. Let me show it to you this way. Go back a chapter or two to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, 26, talk about the moment we became Christians through baptism. Something happened, something changed. In Galatians 3 and 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free man, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. I have been clothed with the protection of my king. I now am under his ownership. I belong to Christ and I reap all of the benefits of that. Why am I fighting the flesh? Because I'm believing in the King. And I love the King. And I trust the King. And the things that he has done for me are so valiant, so amazing, so strong that I owe it to him. When's the last time you thought about that? Boy, I'm right on the brink here. I'm right on the brink of relapsing into something that's on that right side list for me. And here it comes again. And I'm reciting the nine fruit of the Spirit. And I don't think it's putting a dent in the pressures that I'm feeling. And we stopped and we just stopped thinking about ourselves for a moment. We just thought about our King, Jesus, looking down upon us, watching over us, pulling for us, believing in us. And we did it for him. Romans, we've been using a little bit. Let's go back. Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. We could back up to verse 8. All of Romans 6 is useful in just about every sermon, but I'll read only a few verses today. Romans 6 and verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Why would you be dead to sin? Because I'm alive with Jesus. Because of his victory and his promises. Fight for the king. I just have to tell you, when we get out of the moment of me and my flesh and we can just bring Jesus into the conversation, it changes the entire dynamic of the battle. Like a soldier who looks back at his king valiantly standing there with great strength and he's suddenly empowered to take those steps forward into the fray. Fight for the king. Can I show you something else? Fight for the cause. That's actually a war term, a civil idea. fighting for the cause. I'm out here not just because I believe in the strength of the King and His glory and His worthiness, but I believe in who I am and what this is about. Go back with me, please, to Galatians chapter 5. I want to read verse 25. Galatians 5, 25. The Bible says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. I believe in the Spirit's work in me. I believe that something important is happening, that my true purpose is to be a spiritual man. I want you to think about that. My true purpose, what I'm really here for, the great cause of life, the meaning of life, is to be a spiritually minded warrior for the Lord. So what about those deeds of the flesh? They attack that purpose. They undermine that purpose. Look in Ephesians, please, chapter 4. You'll see exactly what I'm referencing here. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. If you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, you know that it has six chapters in it. It kind of splits right down the middle a little bit. In Ephesians 1 through 3, it's really all about our first point. It's about the King. It's about what He did and what it means and how majestic He is and praying about that and thinking about it all the time. But as it transitions into Ephesians chapter 4, it starts to kind of challenge you to realize there's a cause associated with that, a purpose. Let me see if you can see it with me. Look in Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at verse 3 very closely. I have joined a cause. It's not a land of liberty. I've joined a spiritual and eternally powerful cause that I will be diligent to preserve the unity, the oneness of the Spirit, and I will bind it together in me and I will let it produce peace for me, wait, and for everybody around me. My cause is verse 1, to live in a manner that is at least a shadow of worthiness of what the King has done for me, verse 1, and that preserves the fruit and the bond of unity of the Spirit in me and all of the people that I love. The deeds of the flesh have one purpose. What's their cause? Any ideas? Enmity and immorality and drunkenness. What do you think they're about? They want to destroy everything you see in those three verses. They want to see it fall apart. They want to see it burn. In the same chapter in verse 22, Ephesians 4, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's a great idea, renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. I've got a new purpose for living. Before I was a Christian, my purpose was to live the best life for me I could, doing whatever I thought it took to get there. My new purpose is to live in the likeness of God with a spirit of faith. Verse 31, I got to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, got to let it all go, let all the malice go, because it undermines who I am and why I'm here. Fight for the cause. And then go back with me to Galatians 5. Don't forget about the future. Point number one is fight because of what Jesus has done. Point number two is fight for the cause that you're now engaged in, and that is showing what the Spirit can do. And by the way, before we move to that third point, have you noticed what the flesh has done in the lives of the people you care about? Have you noticed the division that it has infused and how that it's worked out to decimate all that they thought they loved in the name of sin? My cause is better than that. But I also need to look to the future. Go back with me to our text, Galatians chapter 5, please. And let's, in fact, go to chapter 6 for this. Look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. Powerful idea. Do not be deceived, he says. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. I think we should just sit there and stare at that for about 8 seconds. What you sow, you reap. Have I missed some exception to that rule? I don't know that there's an exception to that rule. You get out what you put in. You put seed in the ground and you cover it and you go back and you water it and later something grows. You always get out what you put in. Whatever a man sows, this he will reap. So, let's just be really clear about this. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Does anybody disagree with that? This is what's interesting about this lesson. Nobody disagrees with that. Everybody knows, and I'll just go ahead and show you this list. Everybody knows that if I'm engaged in fornication or adultery or pornography, there is no good outcome for that. I've never had anybody say there's a great outcome for that. That always works out well in the end. Everybody knows. If we sow enmity and strife and jealousy and we don't control those things, how many of you have happy endings that you can write out of a family that's embittered by jealousy and envy? We know that. It doesn't work out. It's about fighting for what we already know. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Look to the future. The instantaneous nature of a fleshly sin is not worth the compromise and jeopardy that it places upon our eternity in heaven with God. Some of us think that we can get around the rules. I can sow corruption and reap eternal life. It's never worked for anybody else. It's not going to work for me. I have to fight for my King, fight for who we now are, and fight for the fact that one day soon, 2 Corinthians 5, we will stand before the Lord in judgment and we will give recompense for the deeds we've done in the flesh, whether good or bad. In other words, you're going to reap what you sow. We can win this battle. We can win this war. And please remember, no compromises. In Matthew 13, remember the seed that was sown in the thorns? You remember that? And so you've got this seed growing because you reap what you sow, right? They sowed the Word of God. And they got this nice little plant coming up, looking really promising. But they've also sown some fleshly things and the thorns are growing up. You know exactly what I'm talking about right now, right? The seed sown in the thorny soil. Anybody remember what happened at the end of that story? They all lived happily ever after. Eventually, the good outgrew the bad. They were sowing both, but the seed of God was so strong that it just outgrew. Is that what the story said? The thorns of worry and deceitfulness, fleshly, choked out the Spirit. There can be no compromise. Our future is on the line. So as we close, I want to share with you this. I want to tell you something I've been doing lately that led to this lesson, and I may have mentioned it in the lesson before because I've been doing it quite a while, but I want you to think about how you can utilize these two lists in order to fight for the King, fight for the cause, and fight for your future. And I want to tell you a little bit about what I've been doing. So in my bathroom, in the master bathroom, there are these, have I told you this before, these little diamond tiles, there we go, on the wall. And when I get up in the morning, go in and brush my teeth, and I walk over to those tiles, and I go through 9 of them, and I put my hand on it. I'm a hands-on guy to get the brain going, so I put my hand on my coffee cup first, and then after that I go in there, and I put my hand, and I touch them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And I give every one of them at least a couple of seconds of acknowledgement. This is my cause. This is who God wants me to be. This is why Jesus gave his life for me. This is how you win the battle right here. And so then, and I try to mix it up every day, I take my hand and I pick one and I put my hand on it. So maybe this morning I put it on faithfulness. What a great word. Faithfulness. And I think about what faithfulness is. What is that? Faithfulness. What does that mean? So I come up with a definition of faithfulness. And then I ask myself, what does faithfulness look like? Well, on a Sunday, I chose it on a Sunday morning. So on Sunday morning, I think it looks like obviously coming to worship. And it looks like devotion to God's people and singing where you can be heard. And I determine what it looks like. And this comes from another sermon that I preached last year. Then I pray. Praying in the Spirit, you got to find the Spirit's fruit, then take it into prayer. So I offer a faithfulness prayer. And what I'm encouraging you to do is that plus one more thing this week. So this is where we're going with the ending of this lesson. I'm encouraging you every day, somewhere on a list, to put your finger on all nine of how you win the war. That's how you win the war. It's not self-help books. It's not just accountability programs. It's this. This is how you win. Pick of those nine and put your hand on one and choose it. But here's the second thing I want you to then do. Now, I'd like for you to try it right now. Identify behind me one of those nine qualities. I want you to do that first thing. Stare at it. Give it a definition. Imagine its reality. What does it look like? Now hang on to that. And I want you to come over here and find something. Just one thing this morning will do. One thing that's real in your life. Don't cop out and pick something that applies to somebody three rows behind you. I want you to pick something on the right that is real in your life, but that you believe the fruit you chose can empower you to defeat it. You see what we're doing? We're making a connection. You've chosen something and you know what it is, and if you were alone, I'd tell you to pray about it. And then I want you to reach across the aisle to the other side, and I want you to pick something and say, I can use this to defeat that. And here's how. If we do what you've just done every single day, you will still sin. Can I go ahead and say that? This is being recorded. It's a battle. This is a fight. But you will see more victory than you've ever seen. You will feel like sin is just this thing that happens every once in a while instead of this army that's still towing the line of a war that could go either way. You won't feel like that anymore. You're going to win the war. You're going to fight. And when you sin on a Monday, you get up on Tuesday morning and you go over here and you put your hand on something that you think is going to help you beat that. And you renew the process again. Let me just say this. If there's somebody out there who's feeling the weight of knowing that they've let the tide shift and the devil is winning these wars, and these are more of an identification of me than these are, and I need to turn it around, I need you to know that in Galatians 5, it talked about loving one another and doing it together. And in Galatians chapter 6, you know how we redeem this cause? We fight together. We lift one another and bear one another's burdens. And if you need the encouragement of this church to do that, you will have it today. And of course, if you've not yet put on a relationship with Christ, you're going to fight these battles the rest of your life, but the story's already been written. You've lost the war. You can't win the war. Even with nice little tactile and tile prayers, you still can't win without Jesus. Put on a relationship with Christ. Let us help you as we stand and sing.